Hello and welcome to our prepcast. Today's topic is what to do when your MBA goal seems impossible. We have a special guest here with us, Elin Lollis. She's a professional MBA consultant and has her own MBA consulting agency. Elin, I'm giving the word to you. Please tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background.
Thanks so much for having me back. It's always a pleasure to be here. So I'm Elin Lollis. I founded Elin Lollis Consulting about 10 years ago. Ever since then, you know, we've worked with people from around the world applying to a number of different programs. So US, Europe, Australia, all over the place, Canada. So we work with clients from also a variety of different countries and backgrounds. So we have a 98.9% success rate placing our clients into their top choice programs, which we're really, really proud of. And I think one of the other things that we really try to do, I work with a small group of people every year to really have that really close one-on-one contact with them so that we can really kind of be this ally in the process. A lot of questions, a lot of doubts come up, which we'll talk about today during the process. And I think having someone by your side to help you brainstorm through all of those really helps you get where you want to go. And that's what we love to do.
You have quite a rich experience in the MBA recruiting and preparing people and helping them with their applications. Do you often meet people in this situation, people whose MBA goals seem impossible?
Yeah, I meet people who feel that way all the time. Every morning I have WhatsApp messages like, oh no. A lot of the time it's around GMAT or the GRE. I would say that's the number one reason why people get frustrated. And I'm sure that'll come up a lot today, but that's the number one reason why I think people feel like they're not going to make it, but there's always a solution. I worked with someone who we worked together for 3 years. It was a difficult path. You know, she kept studying, We never gave up. You know, we said, okay, let's keep working towards this goal. It was awesome when she got in. It was such a happy day. And I talked with her recently. She's a global business director now. She works for a major company. She travels all over the world. And so, you know, it's, wow, you know, 4 years ago or 5 years ago, did you think you'd be here? She's like, no, I could never have imagined. I'm really glad I didn't give up. But, definitely kind of when you're in the trenches, it can seem impossible, but there's always a solution.
Wow. 3 years. That seemed to me like a long period, isn't it?
It's a very, a much longer than normal, I would say, but I mean, she's not the only one.
And what is the normal?
I would say most people usually spend about a year and a half preparing from start to finish for the MBA.
All right. Yeah, but so after all, she succeeded after 3 years, so it's worth it.
It is.
So should all of the people who think that's impossible, should all of them keep trying? Do you advise some of them to resign if you think that the MBA is not the right thing for them?
So I think in my role, I try to act as a sounding board more than anything else. Provide information, provide insights, provide questions, answer questions. I've never encouraged anyone to give up because I don't think that's for me to decide. But life does change. I've had candidates who have unexpectedly started families during the process. And hey, you know, my wife just found out she's pregnant. So I'm not sure if I'm going to apply this year. I might wait and do an executive MBA a little bit further down the line, or, you know, who've gotten the dream job that they wanted to use the MBA to land. And they've said, hey, listen, I just got this offer. This is the job I wanted the whole time. It doesn't make sense for me to take this job for 6 months and leave it and hope someday I can get this job again. Yeah, that's a great opportunity, you know, go take it. So, you know, priorities can change, goals can change. I don't think that there's ever a case where I've said to anyone or thought, you know, hey, listen, this is really the end of the road for you. But I think it's important to continue to have that dialogue and to continue to provide, I guess, hopefully insights to help the person make the decision themselves.
Yeah, of course, priorities change, and some people might give up for some moment and at some moment, and then get back to it later.
That happens a lot.
Besides the GMAT and the GRE, what could be the reasons why an MBA goal might seem impossible to some people?
Yeah, so I think, of course, the GMAT and the GRE are the main ones. And just to speak kind of really briefly around if that is you, there are a couple of alternatives around that. There's the executive assessment, which is kind of a smaller, lighter version of the GMAT. It's not accepted at all schools, but it is accepted by, you know, Columbia, NYU, Duke, UCLA, some big name schools. So we've had clients kind of pivot to that exam and be very successful. And there's schools that take a waiver as well, you know, Michigan Ross, Cornell, several schools in Europe. You can apply with a waiver for the GMAT if you have a strong quantitative and academic background. So, you know, if that is something that you say, oh, I don't know if this is working out, there's alternatives to that problem as well. But I would say that the other main thing that I do see is that people forget kind of what an amazing track record they've had. So they start, you know, going on forums and going to events and talking to people, and they say, man, everybody here is so impressive. I feel like I've never done anything. I don't feel like I'm good enough to get in anywhere. And I think that's a big one for people, is to kind of suffer from self-comparison. And that can make it seem, especially if they're maybe struggling a little bit with part of the process, can make it seem like their goal's further away than it maybe seemed before.
Yeah, so this comparison make them lose confidence. Do you have any tips and tricks for them how to gain back their confidence?
Yeah, definitely. I think the number one thing I always suggest for people is to kind of take stock of your wins. So we do it as part of our personal branding exercise within the consulting process. But you really need to kind of look back and say, what are all of the cool things that I've done and all the cool things that I've achieved? And one of the great feedbacks that I love to get when people complete that exercise is, wow, I've never stopped and thought about all the things I did, and I never had it written it down in black and white. And now that I see, I realize I'm a lot more impressive than I thought I was, and I've done a lot more than I realized. So that can be really helpful, is just to kind of write down everything you've done. It can really help you remember how awesome you are and everything that's brought you to the point that you are right now. And also, I think back to moments where you've had to demonstrate resilience in the past, or other challenges that you've gotten over in the past. You could overcome those. You can overcome this. You'll overcome harder things in the future. And just remember that, you know, everything's a process.
Yeah, I think that's a really great tip, not even in this academic path, but also in the personal life and in everything. Is it always a matter of time before reaching the impossible MBA goal?
So most of the time. yes, but sometimes the goal changes, right? Where you thought the road was going at the beginning is not necessarily always where it ends. And I think that can be a good thing, because sometimes I have clients that come in and say, I want this and I only want this. And then, you know, things happen and the process happens, and maybe they face a couple setbacks, and that causes them to reevaluate what they wanted out of the program. And, you know, that can really be helpful. For them to say, in the end, now I realize this is where I was supposed to end up. And all of these experiences were helping me get to that point. And I didn't know that at the beginning. Or, you know, I really am glad that I didn't apply last year. This year is actually much better. And I can see that. And I'm glad that it worked out this way. So I think as long as you're open to that goal, sometimes adapting and shifting, then yeah, it is always a matter of time. I think if you're really rigid, and say, you know, I'm doing this one very narrow thing, or I'm not doing it all, the goal may not happen if you're not willing to, you know, make some adjustments along the way.
All right. And do you meet people who lose motivation and give up because this seems so hard, or they all keep trying and keep going?
We've never had anyone give, I would say, give up because they've lost motivation. We've had, like I mentioned, kind of getting good jobs or starting families and kind of maybe putting it off, or I just got an amazing bonus. I
Wow,
want to, or
okay.
I just got stock options, or, you know, some other cool things, or they're moving me to Mexico. I want to enjoy that for a year before I have to do anything else. So I think there are, though, I would say I hear a lot about people who want to give up, or, you know, friends that clients mentioned, friends of theirs. So I think there's a couple things that people could do. I would say number one would be to find allies. I think the best thing that you can always do is have a good community around you. So maybe that's friends that you can just say, I had an awful day today. Let's go play some tennis, or let's go get a drink. And I just need to, you know, get my mind off things. Or, you know, other people who are applying to, or mentors, or, you know, MBA consultants, people who can really help you and support you and be your team, helping you reach this goal. Second, I would say build a plan B and a plan C. I think that's really helpful, because when you say it's this one super tiny narrow road, that's a goal that's, you know, a year down the line, sometimes that can be a little bit stressful, and that can actually inhibit your performance. So a lot of times an exercise that we do with clients is say, let's develop a plan B and a plan C. We're going to plan not to use them, but we know we have them. So when you go and take the GMAT, or when you go and have this experience, you don't need to be stressed out, because you know you have alternatives that you're happy with and that you would be excited to pursue. So it doesn't feel like it's all on the line. And so I feel like that can be really, really helpful and alleviate a lot of emotional stress. And then the last thing I would say is to take a little break and recharge sometimes. Burnout's a real thing. So if you've been studying for a year and you're not making progress, that's frustrating. Take a little break. Is, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe take a vacation. Is that going to change, you know, dramatically change your study? Probably not. I think the renewed energy, the renewed kind of mindset is probably going to help you a lot more than just grinding, like putting your nose to the grindstone for another 2 weeks would.
Yeah, these are some of the strategies to make the goals impossible again. Do you have some consulting? Do you have other strategies?
Yeah, so I think those are a lot of the ones I use a lot, is like, let's create a lot of different plans. Structure. I think structure is really important. If you have a goal, you know, that you want to reach a year from now that involves multiple different steps, and you don't have a structured plan to get there, it's going to be really hard to make it happen. It's going to be hard to get all the requirements, fulfill all the score requirements, meet all the deadlines. So I think it's important to have structure. And that's something also that we like to provide. Okay, you need to do this, you need to do that. Here's all the aspects that are included in that. And somebody showing you the ropes as well, and telling you what you need to focus on and when you need to focus on it, I think can be really helpful. I also think it can be nice sometimes also just to have somebody who really supports you, who can tell you other cases of people who've maybe been in a situation like yours, and what happened, or who can motivate you or problem solve with you. You know, it's great to have family. I think that's super important. I still call my mom when I have a bad day. But, you know, it's also, my mom can't help me fix certain problems, right? She's a great listener, but there's problems that I would, you know, call a somebody who works in my industry to help solve on a more realistic level. So, you know, having an MBA consultant who says, yeah, okay, let's think about a solution. But also just to motivate you and support you, I think is also something that's really helpful.
All right. And are there cases when a candidate should try to apply for a different MBA or a different master's than the first chosen? How they can overcome the disappointment if they are accepted into a worse ranked MBA?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And that's something that comes up a lot, I would say. And sometimes it can be the right move, right? I would say it's important to weigh exactly that. What is your disappointment versus your willingness to go on and keep doing what you've got to do to make your original goal happen? So some people come to me and say, hey, I don't want to keep studying. Like they want to go to school that has a 720 GMAT average, and maybe they're topping out at, I don't know, 600, So, okay, you can get to 700, you can get to 720, but it's not going to happen overnight, right? You're going to have to continue to study. You're going to have to continue to take all of these steps, continue to make sacrifices to get to that goal. Is that something that you would prefer versus changing your approach? I have people that say, listen, I've taken the GMAT 5 times. This is my highest score. What can we do with it? I'm not studying anymore. And that's more important to me. Whereas I have other people that say, no, I don't want to apply to any of the schools that I can get in with this score. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep trying. And so it really comes down, I think, to the person and weighing what is more important to them.
Okay, thank you. And should a candidate try to set more realistic goals? Do you advise choosing the most suitable program for them rather than going for a top ranked one?
That's also these are tough questions, Maria.
Thank you.
I think that's also a really good question, and one that comes up a lot is, I think the best plans are a mix of realistic and ambitious. We want you to be ambitious. I want you to reach for the stars and get into the best possible program. But we also need to be self-aware, right? If everyone who wanted to go to Harvard could go to Harvard, it wouldn't be Harvard, right? It's Harvard because it's very exclusive. It's very competitive. It's hard to get in. So we have to have a balance. For example, if we have somebody who has, let's go back to that case, maybe a 600 GMAT, and they refuse to retake it, Harvard's probably off the table unless there's some really unusual aspect to their profile. If they say, hey, I'm continuing to work at my for towards this goal, I'm going to continue studying, I'm going to continue to improve, great. If they say, no, I want to go to Harvard and I don't want to take it again, that's not a very realistic goal, is it? they're not really setting themselves up for success. They can try, but I would say, you know, we can try it, but I want you to know the chance of success is incredibly minimal. So I think it, again, kind of comes down to your priorities. Like, there are things that are definitely, you should be ambitious, but you should also be self-aware. You should know the strengths of your profile. You should know the weakness of your profile, and you should know how willing you are to address your weaknesses.
And do you think that also the business school culture matters, and the goal, and an MBA goal that might really be impossible for someone who doesn't fit to the business school culture, like that some MBA might be really impossible for somebody because he's not the right person for this school, or this school is not the right for him or her?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I think culture matters a lot. And I think you guys have a great tool, the Cultural Fit Index. I think you can probably link that too, that people can use to explore the different schools' culture. Because I think really understanding the different cultures of the school is a really important part of the process, and showing fit, that's going to make getting in a lot easier if you have a good fit with school and you can demonstrate that. We could do a whole podcast just on that. But I think, however, if you're not a great cultural fit, you can still get in if you've got a good background, a good profile. I've had clients go to really well-ranked schools that they didn't really love the culture because they liked the brand. And they said, you know what, brand matters to me much more than culture. So even though I don't love the culture of the school, I'm okay with that. I know it's not going to be super fun 2 years for me, but that's fine. I care mostly about the brand. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Were they able to get in and put together a good application? Yes. But you know, if you have a good cultural fit with the school, I think it's easier to go through that mutual selection process, right? We choose you, you choose us, we're a good fit. So I do think that choosing schools where you have a good cultural fit generally tends to work better. But I would say that, you know, in the end, no goal is impossible. I think that the road can be difficult to reach any goal. And it's good that it's difficult sometimes, because it really allows you to reflect on if that's the path that you really want to take. It can clarify, I think, what matters to you, where you're going, who you are. And I don't think we get a lot of chances in life to have that process of reflection. So I think it's a really nice thing to take stock of during the MBA application and to really value. But then I would say, you know, once you've gotten to the point where you've reflected, You've really decided what you want. Give it everything you've got. No goal is too impossible. No program is too impossible. But you have to have that balance of being really motivated and really self-aware. And I think continue to be a little bit flexible along the way, and you can reach any goal.
Thank you. I also think that it's also fine if you don't fit that well to the with the culture, because you have decided to make a compromise with the culture, mm-hmm. because you think that the brand is more important. But still, it's nice to be aware of the culture of the school. It's
Absolutely.
Nice to research on it and know what is it about and if it will be your thing or not. And then you can decide better if you want to make this compromise or not.
Oh yeah, for sure. If you can go to a top school that you have a cultural fit versus a top school that you don't, you're going to like the top school with a cultural fit 1,000 times more than you would the other one. So it is super important.
Yeah, so for our listeners, I will put a link to our cultural fit. They can use it all the time and see if the desired business school has a fit with them. So I will leave it in the description, and also the link to the Alien Lollies consultancy, of course, so you can always connect with them. And thank you for listening to our podcast. I hope that you enjoyed the episode. Thank you, Alien, for all the great tips and all the insights that you have shared with us.
Of course, it's my pleasure. Thank you again for having me. Hopefully I can come back soon. Thank you to everybody who listened. If you want to sign up for our newsletter, about once a month, I sit down and try to write about topics like this that are not, you know, typical kind of blog post topics, more just about what people are struggling with, or different thoughts that I've had watching different people going through the process. So that's something that you can sign up for. And in, I think, early-ish 2024, we're going to also start more video content, so you guys can keep an eye out for that as well. Passing again kind of some tips like this in really super short format. So if that's helpful for you as well, you can keep an eye out for that.